Today I'm going to be looking at Luke 1, and Andrew touched on God appearing to Zacharias last week. But here I'm going to be talking about just when John was born and when God showed up. And I want to start with just a little story from my own life. A few years ago now, I had a young gentleman who was in my trek group at Awana, so that's grade 6 to 8. He was in high school at this point now, and he was just, we got to talking at church one day, and a mutual friend kind of told us to talk, and he said, you know, I don't really have that many Christian friends. I don't have good Christian influences. So I said, well, I don't have anyone to disciple, and discipleship is something that's important to me. It helped me get through university, and I think it's very important for everyone. So I said, why don't we start meeting? You know, it doesn't have to be a formal Bible study, just the two of us, but, you know, Friday night when you have nothing else to do, let's go to a Hound game or go out for dinner or just do something. So we started doing this a few times, and not every time, but more often than could be considered coincidence, something would happen. You know, we went out for supper, and the waitress would say, oh, drinks on us. Like, pop, not alcohol, but, you know, you bought wings, so here, you get the drinks for free. And we're like, oh, well, that's nice, you know, just a little thing. And then a few weeks go by, and I was like, let's go bowling. So we go to North Crest, and we get there, and every lane has a piece of, or not a piece of, a full large pizza. And, you know, I go to the clerk for shoes, and I'm like, what's happening here? And they're like, oh, we're having a silent auction to raise money for an organization in the city. And I'm like, oh, well, we're not really here to bid on anything. And they're like, oh, don't worry about it. Just enjoy the pizza, enjoy your day. And I was like, you know, both of us were like, wow, this is amazing. You know, get free drinks. Now we get free pizza, free lunch. And then a few weeks go by again, we meet up and we go to a Hound game. And I walk in, buy the tickets, and they're like, oh, we only have standing room tickets. I was like, oh, we're both young, it's fine, no problem. So first period goes by, and the whole period you can see maybe a third of the arena is empty, you know, season ticket holders that didn't make it out or what have you. So we're like, okay, no one's been in those two seats for the period, so if we take them, we won't be kicking anyone out of their spot or anything. And we kind of scouted out a few sections with seats to make sure that we weren't taking anyone's who was there. And so between the first and second intermission, or first and second period, we go and we take these seats and enjoy the second period. Well, next intermission comes, and they have a draw for these two Cirque du Soleil tickets. What do you know? We don't even realize this. We're talking and whatnot, and the gentleman next to us turns to us and says, you won. I look, what? Excuse me? Won what? And he's like, you, Cirque du Soleil. And then, lo and behold, a young lady comes down, and I'm thinking, they're going to ask to see our tickets. We're going to, like, this is going to be all. And just like, oh, no. No, she just comes over. Here you go. Congratulations. Walks away. And I'm just thinking, we just took two random seats, and here we are. But it was just amazing. And so I talked to the guy that I was with, and I was like, you know, one time it might just be coincidence, a waitress that's having a nice day or something. But this is obviously God saying, you know, this is a good thing and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to show myself just in a little way. And, you know, it didn't happen with pillars of fire or, you know, clouds on mountaintops or anything like that. But it was just a little way that God showed, I'm here. I'm with you. And here we see God show up as well. So I want to start with a little section of what Andrew talked about last week, Luke chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, that's Zacharias, and standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. And this is something very common we see. God shows up, And oftentimes, people's first reaction is falling on their face on the ground out of fear, or being gripped with fear and paralyzed. We see the shepherds, an angel told Mary, you know, do not be afraid. Isaiah, before the piece of coal was touched to his lips, was terrified. We see many instances when God or God's messenger shows up, that there's fear. And for right reason, God, all-powerful, you know, creator of the universe, can, and we see has, you know, just smitten entire cities for falling away and for not loving him. So there is reason to be fearful of God. And even when you know God and you know his love, it's still healthy to have that dose of fear, because it's almost reverence or respect for him. But very often, our first reaction is, oh my gosh, this is terrifying. I don't know what to do. And this was Zechariah's reaction, just gripped with fear. And this isn't a bad thing, but it does kind of freeze us. And this is why so often you hear the angel say, do not be afraid. And the first thing angel does is not give the message that he was sent to give. It's comfort the person that he's giving the message to. And sometimes in our lives, we have the same thing, where God will show up, and it doesn't necessarily happen with, you know, an angel coming to share a message, but God will show up, and we'll be like, oh, no, like, what's going to happen now? And we're kind of scared. We don't know God's plan in its entirety. And when we don't understand something, we're often scared of it. You know, I think every child, and a lot of adults still, you know, have a healthy fear of the dark. And you just can't see what's there. There's that monster under the bed, or that's going to, you know, grab you in the night, or whatever, monster in the closet. And, you know, you have to rely on your parents to comfort you at night. And same thing with us. We don't know what tomorrow brings. And sometimes when God shows us something or reveals himself, we don't know what's going to accompany it. So we're scared, and we need that comfort from him. But thankfully, this isn't the only thing. It doesn't stop at just fear. We see moving along a little bit. Next page, that oftentimes, after that fear, that feeling of terror, once we realize, you know, this isn't just someone to be afraid of, this is someone who loves us, oftentimes there's immense joy when God reveals himself to. And so reading in Luke 1:57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. This is particularly special because she was known to be barren, she was known to be in old age and not to be able to bear children. And this is, in today's society, it's like, oh, you don't have children, and it's almost accepted like this is normal, or that's okay, we think nothing of it. Whereas in their society, children were almost, not quite the reason to live, but it was very, very important to have children. They were your retirement plan, they were, you know, your pride and joy raising them, and especially having that firstborn son. It was just such a great joy to have a firstborn son who would inherit, who would, you know, take care of the family after the father died. Just immense importance. And here we have someone, Elizabeth, who's known to be barren. And at one point she says, you know, take away my shame. She was almost shamed, or she felt shame for not being able to have that joy, that son, or children in general. And God said, I'm going to take that shame, take that lack that you can't have children, and not just turn it into joy, but turn it into immense joy, great joy, that everyone can be a part of. It wasn't just Elizabeth who gave birth to a son. It was her neighbors and relatives. All of these people are gathered and experience this miracle, because that's what it was, this miracle that this woman had a son, a lovely little babe. And I'm really excited. I know Jerry announced a little bit about little baby horseman shower, but in a month and a half or so, I'll experience that same joy of, you know, having this little baby. And I see, you know, newborn, you see parents at the back with newborn children, and you hear newborn children cry. And Sarah thinks I'm kind of crazy for this, but oftentimes, if I'm in a bad mood, or if I'm just, you know, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, I'll come to church, or I'll go somewhere, and there will be little babies crying, or little, you know, 2-3-year-olds running around and wailing. And it'll just make me filled with joy. And she's just like, this is great. This is the best quality I could ask for at a husband. You know, you're going to be very joyous when we have kids. But it's just such a joy seeing all of these young lives enter the world. And just because they're not happy at the moment doesn't mean they don't bring joy every moment, you know, even when they're crying at 3 a.m. And that's what Elizabeth is blessed with. That immense joy. And it's so wonderful to know that when God reveals himself, he doesn't stop at just scaring us and paralyzing us with fear. He says, I love you, and this is how I'm going to bless you. And it's such a wonderful thing that we can have that joy. Even in hard times when happiness is fleeting, that joy is still there. When God shows up, the next thing that happens is there's usually a call to obey. There's usually something that God says to do afterwards. And here we see Zechariah fulfilling that command that he had given earlier. So it says in verse 59, on the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child. And they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father, because Zechariah had been muted for questioning the angel. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. So when the angel came, he said, you're going to be with child, you're going to have a son, you will name him John, and he will be a Nazarite. He won't have any alcohol, or his hair won't be cut, and his hair won't be cut. That these are, you know, God's or the angel's commands to Zechariah. And Zechariah, he was considered an upright man, an upright priest, and he wanted to follow God's law. He wanted to obey God. And so when the time came, everyone was like, oh, you know, name him Zechariah. No, why John? You know, and Zechariah and Elizabeth were adamant. They followed the Lord and said his name will be John. And I'm sure that every person who's tried to name their child has got input from everyone and their mother about what the name should or shouldn't be. Or, oh, that name's too common. Or, that name's too uncommon and out there. Or, oh, why are you spelling it this way? And there's always something. So I'm sure even more so when, you know, names were even more important, especially to the Jews, where if something happened, a person would be renamed for what they did. You know, Saul turning to Paul, or Abram to Abraham, or all these people, or places were named something for an event, or as a reminder. And similarly, John was purposefully named by God, and Zechariah and Elizabeth understood that this was important. This wasn't to be dismissed just for tradition. This was an important thing to follow. And we see later on that they followed the other command as well to raise John as a Nazarite. So they saw the importance of obeying God's command that came when he showed up or when his messenger showed up, despite questioning looks and not understanding from all the people around them. Oftentimes, when God shows up today, the same thing happens. We have something, whether it's the Holy Spirit leading us or a friend talking to us or just something in God's word standing out to us, oftentimes something will prick us and it'll be like, I need to do that, or I need to stop doing this. And one small example that happened just a few weeks ago, I'm a developer at SR Algoma Steel now, and one of my jobs recently is to test software from a third party. So I go out into the mill with the operators, and I'm using the software, and we get to talking, and he swears. And he looks at me, and he's like, oh, you're not a God-fearing man, are you? And my first thought was to just kind of sidestep the question and say, oh, I understand, like, I'm used to swearing, it doesn't bother me. That was my very first reaction. And just, you know, this all in half a second in my head, and I thought, wow, that, you know, just shame and guilt just for that fleeting thought. And I thought, wow, just, you know, thinking, let's deny the Lord, not deny the Lord, but just sidestep the question so that you don't have to acknowledge you're a Christian, was my first thought. And I was like, no, God is, you know, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to talk to Christ about, to talk with him about Christ. And so I replied, actually, I am, yes. I go to church most Sundays, and here I am thinking, you know, when God shows up, sometimes there's fear, often there's fear. Here I am thinking, you always hear about, you know, guys at the plant on the floor, and then they give you a hard time. And so here I am thinking, like, now I'm going to have to spend the next half an hour, and I'm out here often, so I'll meet with him again, and it'll be difficult. But that was the call to obey. And he turned to me and was like, oh, really? I didn't know. That's wonderful. And he wasn't a Christian, but then for the next half an hour, we got to talking about Bethel. We talked about Christ. And I was just like, wow, just obeying despite a little fear. And now this joy in this situation. And this is just a little thing in our lives. But it's these little things that we have to look for when God shows up, that we can see, you know, we have fear, but we have a command, and when we follow that command, we have joy. And it was such an enlightening experience for me. It was like, Jarrett, you obeyed, and now you have joy. You've shared the gospel with someone. And I went home, and I was over the moon. Like, I walked in and, like, hugged my wife, and she was just like, wow, you had a good day at work. She didn't need to ask, you know, how was your day or anything. And I shared with her. And that's the joy that, you know, obeying God can bring. And when God shows up, that's the joy we can have. And it surprised me just how good I felt after, even though I was scared, you know, 30 seconds before I told him. But similarly, Zechariah said, I'm going to obey despite my family telling me otherwise and my friends telling me otherwise. And immediately, something else that often happens when God shows up happened. There was power. He says, you know, he wrote, his name is John. And then in verse 64, it says, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free. And he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. So here we see Zechariah obeyed, and immediately power filled him, and God loosed his tongue. Immediately, something drastic and unexpected happened, and people were like, wow, John is special. Like, what should we be expecting from John? This is amazing. And people didn't realize that John was kind of the second coming of Elijah, but they knew something because power had come. And once again, we see the same thing, you know, whether it's in the unlikely Cirque du Soleil ticket winners or something else. In our own lives, we see God doing impossible or, you know, the highly circumspect things where you just stop and there's no way that just happened. There's no way this can happen. And then you think, this is God. This is God revealing himself. This is God in the moment. And I think that oftentimes God shows up and God has his hand in things, but we aren't exactly a perspective or perceptive people. Oftentimes I will be going about my day and then a week later I'll be laying in bed and think, that was God. That little thing that happened like way long ago that I totally glossed over, that was God. And I think God might do little things, until eventually they're a little bigger, until eventually it's, I'm right in front of you. Look at me. I'm here. You can't miss it when he reveals himself to us. And I think, you know, looking through all the instances in the Old Testament where God revealed himself, where God showed up, you know, where it was Elijah telling him to go to King Ahab. Definitely fear, definitely power, definitely a command. And then after years and years, definitely joy. You know, Jonah, God shows up, says, go to preach salvation, basically, preach repentance. And there's a command, there will be power. Jonah says, nope, and runs the other way, and then you end up under the sea with a fish for 3 days because he didn't obey. You know, you can choose to obey or eventually obey. But all these things in the Old Testament, and you can look at Moses, you can look at Elisha, you can look at basically any judge, prophet, king. When God shows up, there's often power, joy, a command, and fear. And then the most important instance where God showed up was Christ. Christ was born, and then 30-ish years later, he started his ministry. And just watching that ministry was amazing. We read about it, and we're going to be reading about it more. And you see all of the unrest that it causes, all of the miracles he performs, all of the joy that Christ brings to families, and God's power in every situation. But it didn't stop there. Obviously, he went to the cross for us. And this is the epitome of God's power, saying, you are a sinful, wretched people, but I'm going to look at my righteous son instead, and I'm going to sacrifice him for you. And he said, I'm not just going to let my son die for you. You know, the Passover lamb was slaughtered and the blood put on the lintel. The Passover lamb wasn't raised again. You didn't see, you know, little lambs wandering with the Israelites after they had been slain. They were dead. Christ wasn't. Christ rose again. And he is risen today, and he is with us today. And each and every person, hopefully each and every person here, has had a moment in their life or in our lives where we have said, God is here. You know, it might have been when we were six, being raised by Christian parents, or in my case, being shown a Christian movie by my grandmother, or whatever it was. At one instance, God said, I'm going to show up in your life. not just the church body's life, but Jarrett Horstman's life. Each of us, by name, individually, he says, I'm going to show up in your life. And then there's fear. First thing after being saved was, is this real? I'm going to have to tell my parents, who I knew were not Christian, not exactly welcome to Christianity or religion in general. I'm going to have to figure out, like, friends. I have non-Christian friends. How do I interact with them? What will relationships with them be like? My life, you know, I'm going to have to start going to church. And I was just like, how do I change? Or what's going to be next? And it was a little scary. But in the same instance, how much joy was there? There's never been a more joyous moment for me. And I've lived, I would say, a very blessed life. But this is the moment that has the most joy. God showed up and there was fear at what I was going to have to do. There was fear at just understanding I am a sinner and I didn't realize just how much it cost. There's joy once I realized that the payment had already been sacrificed, that had already been taken care of. There's obviously a commandment to love our God and to love our neighbors, and obviously to share that joy, to evangelize, to share God's love with everyone. There's that commandment. And thankfully, very thankfully, there's God's power. We see in Pentecost the Holy Spirit coming, and just look at what happened. There was people raised from the dead, there were tongues of fire, speaking in tongues, prophecies. It was amazing. We have the Holy Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit is with us today, and God's power is with us today. It's not just go change your entire life, do a 180 now that you know what to do. It's let me help you. Let me give you my Spirit. Let me change you. And I think how many times have people said, you know, New Year's resolutions, great example. I'm going to change. I'm going to start doing whatever it be. And then by, you know, 2 weeks into January, right back into their old ways. Nothing changed, or it wasn't a lasting change. Now you look at Christians, people who have truly experienced this moment in their lives of God revealing himself and God showing up, and you say, what were they like before? That's not even the same person as, I never would have guessed that this wonderful human being used to whatever. And not to say that we are perfect, not to say that sometimes it isn't hard to get along with some of our brothers and sisters at times, but through God's power, there is change constantly going on. And I don't see this change without God often. It's so rare, so seldom that people change on their own. But here we have this loving, powerful, caring God to help us. Here we have this God who cares enough to take our sin upon his shoulders, cares enough to walk with us and reveal himself to us when we are going astray, cares enough to give us joy in our lives and blessings. Malachi says, test me and I'll open the floodgates of heaven with blessings so that you can't even count. Immeasurable. This is the greatest blessing. He has done that. We have no greater joy than when God shows up. And now we get to experience that joy for the rest of our lives, for the rest of eternity. And when God shows up, even though it's terrifying, even though, you know, whether it's a call to obey something that you don't understand and that doesn't make sense to you, whether it's a call to change something that you're doing in life, whatever it is, it'll probably terrify you or make you uncomfortable. It will probably be difficult, but when God shows up, it will probably be accompanied by joy and God's power and His Holy Spirit. And I pray that as we go from here today, whether you aren't a Christian, I ask that you look for God. He will show up. I 100% guarantee. If you sincerely look for who God is, He will reveal Himself to you. And if you are a Christian, if you do know God's love and God's salvation, look for those little things where God's showing up. You know, try to be attuned to what God is doing in your life. And every time you see God, your faith will be strengthened. Your joy will increase. And you will be less and less scared. You know, when the angel says, "Fear not," initially you might be like, okay, you know, a little reservedly, but okay. But, you know, after being shown over and over again and told over and over again, "Fear not," eventually trust will replace that fear. And life with God is joyous. Lord, thank you for giving us such a wonderful promise. Thank you for showing us yourself and who you are and giving us your Holy Spirit so that in those times where you call us to do something and we're scared, we can have your power to do it and the joy from following your word, the joy from knowing we are your children. We inherit like your firstborn son. We get Christ's reward despite our iniquity. Lord, thank you for giving us such a wonderful gift and for showing what it's like to be in your presence, to show us what to look for, and then to know what it will be like and what we can expect, and help us handle the things that we don't understand but are called to do anyways. Lord, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit, the power to change every day in our lives, to recognize, as we were talking about, you know, analyzing ourselves before taking the bread and the wine. Thank you, Lord, that we have the Spirit so that when something does come up, we can address it with your power. Thank you, Lord, that you care about us enough to send your Son. In whose name we pray. Amen.